The third quarter results bring USPS's losses for the year to $11.6 billion so far. As the agency slogs through what are traditionally some of its slowest business months of the year, it's doing everything it can to conserve cash so it can pay employees and suppliers. But Acting Chief Financial Officer Stephen Massey says the organization's liquid assets are running low.
At the end of July, we had approximately $3 billion of total liquidity, which was made up of about $2.5 billion of borrowing authority under the $15 billion debt facility that we have, and about $500 million of actual unrestricted cash in the bank.
USPS expects to fully exhaust that credit line with Treasury by the end of the year. It's hoping for increased cash flows from a busy election mailing season. We'll get it through to the typically profitable holiday mailing months. The agency's primary stopgap plan to save cash as of late has been to default on congressionally mandated payments into accounts designed to pre-fund the health care benefits of future retirees. USPS missed a $5.5 billion payment last week and expects to skip another $5.6 billion contribution at the end of September. But Thurgood Marshall Jr., the chairman of the USPS Board of Governors, says none of the agency's cash strategies will have an impact on mail operations.
Do we currently have the resources to go on forever? We do not. Will we be obligated to take additional cash conservation measures? We may. Will mail delivery ever be disrupted? No, it will not. That will never happen. I cannot stress this enough. The Postal Service will continue to deliver for the American people as we always do. The Congress and the administration, indeed, would never allow any theoretical disruption to occur. The Postal Service is far too important to commerce and the economy for that to happen.
Whether USPS makes those retiree health payments or not, it's still required to report them on its books. And the agency says out of its $5.2 billion third quarter loss, more than $3.1 billion was the result of the requirement to pre-fund health benefits. USPS argues there were other factors outside of its control, like non-cash adjustments to its workers' compensation fund. Without those factors, the Postal Service argues it would have only lost about $1 billion for the quarter. But Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe says they need to continue to cut costs.
Hey, let me say this. We will do everything we need to do. We've got a game plan laid out in terms of what we plan to do from a strategic standpoint over these next 5 years. We'll make that happen. Congress needs to act responsibly and move on this legislation. Even though we've taken 20 million hours out, and in the course of the last 10 years in this organization, we reduced headcount by one-third and reduced work hours by one-third. We can only go so far. The freedom for delivery flexibility, the FERS refund, the elimination of the pre-funding, these things need to be done. They need to be done quickly so we can get back to a profitable situation and make sure that our customers are confident in the long-term prospects of this postal service.
There were definitely bright spots in the latest USPS financials. Revenues are relatively stable, down less than 1% from the previous year, and its shipping and package delivery business continues to grow, up 9% from a year earlier. That's $3.3 billion worth of revenue that almost offset the decline in operating income from the nation's dwindling use of first-class mail. And Donahoe says they're saving money by consolidating some of their current 461 mail processing centers around the country to better match the volume of mail flowing through the system.
We're currently moving forward with consolidations in 48 locations. They're pretty well wrapped up now and finishing up towards the end of this month. And I'm pleased to say that they have gone very, very smoothly. This really reflects a lot of planning and execution throughout the entire organization. We've announced previously, but it bears restating, we're going to put a stop to the consolidations for the months of September, October, November, December, because that's our heaviest volume period of the year. We've got fall mailing, which we're looking forward to this year, big election mailing season, and of course the holiday mailing season. So we'll make sure that we are there to deliver for America. In January, we're going to resume the consolidations at 92 locations. Like I said, so far, it's going very well, and I expect it to go well into the future.
The Postal Service says the shutdowns of those processing facilities haven't had an impact on mail delivery time so far. They're still meeting or exceeding their 1-, 2-, and 3-day delivery targets. Postal compensation costs have also declined through retirements and other forms of attrition. USPS reported 20 million fewer work hours in the agency through June of this year compared to the same period last year.
This is a result of focus on process efficiency across everything we do. So it's in our letter routes. It's in collection routes. It's in window service. It's in the postmaster functions. It's all the back office operations. For give you an example, in our headquarters facility, everybody that works in our headquarters facility works in one building now. We used to have seven buildings. As we've reduced headcount, we've economized, we've squeezed down, we've done a lot of work that way. So it goes across the board. And that's the same approach going forward. And we have managed attrition very carefully because we knew these volumes would be dropping, and we did not want to be sitting with thousands of people with no place to go. So we've squeezed them down, used overtime, used non-career employees as a buffer.
USPS now has about 540,000 employees compared to 563,000 a year ago. And Donahoe says there are more reductions to come.
We think that the optimal number of people in the organization would be around 400,000. That said, that optimal environment is also a five-day delivery environment. A couple things working in our favor. Right now, there are about 165,000 people who are eligible for full retirement, substantial number within civil service, a large number of people in FERS, and that goes across all the crafts, too. So, you know, we've been very careful to manage the hiring, which puts us in good shape to when people retire, not have to fill behind them, and then you can end up with a soft landing, I guess you'd say, as we get to this 400,000 headcount number.
USPS made two separate retirement incentive offers to employees in the third quarter. 21,000 postmasters were offered a $20,000 buyout. 45,000 mail handlers were given the option to retire with a $15,000 incentive payment. About 8,000 employees accepted. Donahoe says even if Congress eliminates the Postal Service's obligation to pre-fund retiree health benefits, other steps are needed, more else the agency will continue to lose cash. USPS also wants permission to eliminate Saturday delivery, create its own health insurance system, and get a refund on overpayments it says it's made into the federal pension systems. The Postmaster General says unless Congress solves the Postal Service's persistent financial problems, confidence in the agency, particularly among large commercial mailers, will deteriorate. He says, based on a public misunderstanding of the reasons for the cash problems.
People don't understand it. People are like, geez. And it's hard for people to understand it. We've spent a whole year really trying to explain to people the whole concept behind the pre-funding. There's still a lot of people that don't understand that. So those things all work against you one way or another. When you have Postal Service loses money, Postal Service loses billions, it creates a negative atmosphere. That's why we need to get all these things resolved.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.